praise you. You are everything to us. Everything we need. Awesome. Wow. Well, you may be seated. Thank you guys so much for joining us for Team Night. You having a good time so far, everybody? Good. I'm glad to hear it. We are very, very glad that you're here, and love the opportunity to host you and let you be a little bit behind the scenes on what God's doing here as we continue to move forward with the vision that he's given us as a church. And as Abby mentioned, couldn't do it without you, and I'm very proud of every single one of you. So, and I just feel like my cup just got filled up. Isn't that awesome? Man. Yeah. Because mine gets empty on occasion. I don't know about yours, but so I'm grateful for God's presence and his power and being able to experience him like that. And I want to just, right before we jump into what I want to share with you tonight, take a moment and honor, again, all of you for coming and being a part of this evening and all the ways that you lead, make a difference, whether you're leading a J group this summer or you lead one of our ministry areas, you're a director or an area coordinator. Very, very proud of you and thankful for you. And what I want to do for the next few minutes is give you some stuff that you can use this summer in growing as a leader. And my heart has always been in any environment like this that I can't handle only making, by God's grace, making one part of your life better. I want whatever happens in this environment to just bleed and trickle into every area of your life. And so what I'm going to share with you this evening, I have been working on off and on for a couple of years, and I still haven't kind of got it exactly figured out yet, so I'm giving you the raw stuff, all right? Is that okay? Okay. So I'm going to give you some raw stuff, and again, it's what you can use, what you can use in your own life to grow, and I think it applies in every area. Leadership in the marketplace, leadership in church, leadership in your home, leadership in your relationships. So I hope it's helpful for you tonight, and I also want to take a moment and honor all of the staff and leaders who made tonight possible. Susie with the food and the decor, and Abby for making tonight happen. Sam and Kristen Lopez, so good to have them back, and Brandon leading us in worship and production, and just everybody that had a part in making tonight happen. My secret sauce is the people I'm surrounded by. So if you want to go far, surround yourself with good people. And that's like one thing I've done right is put some really good people around me, and I'm proud of every single one of them. So you have a handout, which is going to be really difficult to fill out sitting in a chair with your lap, but we're going to make it work. I want to jump in. And again, what I want to share with you, I hope, is helpful in every area of your life. But the framework for us tonight is, you know, we're leaders. And some of you in the room might be going, oh, I'm really uncomfortable with that word. Somebody talked me into it, actually. I'm not convinced. And I get that. And that's okay. You can be uncomfortable, and I'll just keep calling you a leader. It's all right, because you are one. And so that's the framework. And what I want to talk about for a few minutes is what causes people around us to engage with our leadership. Again, whether we're leading a group, leading our family, leading a team, whether we're leading two people or 20 people or 200 people, what causes people to engage with the vision that we have and with the forward motion that we're trying to generate in some area? And you, all of you have probably been in an environment or a season where you were on an engaged team or in an engaged family or group where people were excited, right? You know, people come early and stay late. You don't have to twist their arm. You're not like, are you going to be here? Well, I guess, you know. They're not dragging themselves through it. They don't have a scowl on the face. They're smiling. They're excited. That is what we all want, right? How many know that's more fun? That's a lot more fun than the alternative. So to understand how that happens, I think we have to understand what causes people to disengage. And you might say, well, why would we start with the negative? But it's actually starting with the positive because it means we're assuming people want to engage, but there's some stuff happening that's preventing them from engaging. Rather than assuming that they want to disengage, we assume that they want to engage. Our whole church was founded with the idea that there are a lot of people who want to experience God, but stuff has gotten in the way. Religion has gotten in the way. A bad experience has gotten in the way. Distractions have gotten in the way. And I think the same is true when it comes to the people we lead, that most people have a desire to make environments better and to be a part of something positive and to give their best, but stuff just gets in the way. So the question is, what gets in the way? That's what I want to break down for you tonight. And this comes from some stuff that I've heard my pastor, Pastor Chris Hodges, say. It comes from some stuff I read by a guy named Patrick Lencioni, who's written a bunch of books. He's one of my favorite authors, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, probably the greatest leadership book ever written, in my opinion. And some of this stuff comes from him. Some of it comes from a Harvard Business Review article where Facebook did a study of everyone who's a part of their company. And some of it comes from Jesus and the Bible. And so it's a stew, all right? And at the end of the day, here's what we know. Truth is truth wherever you find it. And if you find something that's true, it doesn't matter whether you found it with Facebook or Patrick Lencioni. Probably Jesus said it first. And I think that really applies to this. So here's the first thing that causes people to disengage. So take some notes. The first thing is anonymity. Now, that's Patrick Lencioni's word, so I know it's kind of a big word. But here's the definition. The perception that a leader does not know me or recognize my contributions. The perception that my leader does not know me or recognize my contributions. So anonymity is a good thing when you want to stay on the fringes. So the journey specifically allows people to remain somewhat anonymous when they come here for the first time. We don't run in up to them when they walk in the front door, slap a name tag on their chest, walk them up to the front and introduce them, you know, to anybody who happens to be standing around. This is Bill and he feels awkward now. We don't do that. We want people to be able to feel a little bit anonymous at first because we want them to be able to test the waters. But we can't stay engaged following a leader that we sense doesn't know us or recognize our contributions over the long term. So what's the solution? I'm going to give you the solutions to these things and we'll kind of break it down. The solution to anonymity is community. Community. And this is the belief that I am known, cared about, and respected by others. The belief that I am known, cared about, and respected by others. And this comes from a human need that all of us have for connection and belonging. Every single one of us has that. Now, some of us act like we don't need anybody. We act like we're good all on our own. We don't need anybody. Some of us act like we don't care what anybody says. It doesn't bother us. We don't respond to affirmation or we don't respond to criticism. We're just like stone, you know, we're hard, we're tough. But the truth is all of us need community. Every single one of us. And what happens in the absence of community when people feel anonymous over the long term is they get discouraged. They become distracted and they disengage. But what happens when people feel known, cared about, and respected is just the opposite. There's energy, there's excellence, and there's engagement. It turns a switch on in the human spirit when we feel like I am known and my contributions are recognized. Somebody knows my name, somebody knows my story, I'm valued. So there are all kinds of ways in our church that we attempt to do this. The most obvious one is J groups, right? So we early on said, okay, if everybody just comes on the weekend in a crowd, they're going to feel anonymous forever. Everyone needs connection. And so we started working hard to create these little communities where people could be known and their contributions could be recognized, primarily the taco dip. Am I right? Am I right? That's like the greatest contribution to a J group is the taco dip. So if you're the taco dip bringer, we honor you tonight. Some of our teams have really started leaning into this. I think of our worship team. They do something called Infuse, which is a plan for training people to serve on stage as a vocalist or a musician. But really, it's also a plan for developing community on that team. I feel known. My contributions are recognized. Somebody knows my name. We don't need everybody to know our name, contrary to the sitcom that I would live in, which would be Cheers. Now, I would have seltzer, just so you know, but that was my show when I was a teenager. I love that show. I don't know why. and everybody knows your name there. We don't need everybody to know our name, but we just need a few people to know our name. We need community. And that's what groups are all about, getting to know people's names and stories, texting them, praying for them, caring about them, doing life together. That's the stuff that creates community. We feel engaged when someone has taken the time to recognize our story and our lives. I had this experience a couple of months ago because I was in a really busy season, and I know I told somebody recently I've been in a busy season for 11 years, but I was in a particularly busy stretch of a few weeks, and I came into my office one day, and there was a little gift basket on my table in my office from Abby Ecker, and it wasn't just stuff, it was stuff intended to, like, de-stress. So dark chocolate, there was a dark chocolate bar in there, and a little note said, I know that you like dark chocolate, so here's some dark chocolate. I like, when I'm really stressed out and I need to relax, I like to watch a movie, so there was a little gift card to go to the movies in this gift basket. It was very specific, and I'm saying all this, number one, to honor her, number two, in hopes that it will happen again. So that's community. And I felt, in that moment, I was like, wow, it's not that she gave me a gift. It's that it was an intentional kind of thing. Hey, I see that you're really busy. Here's some stuff. I was really thoughtful. I know what's going on for you, and here's something to be encouraging. That's community. And this is why span of care is so important, by the way. And we talk about this a lot. Just so you know, those of us who are leading you, we talk about span of care all the time. Jesus, one of the first things he did when he started his public ministry was choose 12 disciples. Now, if anybody could have said, I don't need anybody else, the Son of God could have said that. He was not like, I think I need Peter to help me figure out how to walk on water. No, that was not his issue. But he chose 12 people to do life with. He didn't choose 120 to do life closely. He would impact the crowd, but he chose 12 people to do life with. That was his span of care. And he knew, even though he was God, he was also human, and he didn't take advantage of his godness, the New Testament says. And this was one of those moments when he said, I'm going to model for you. That's about the maximum number of people you can actually care for. Did you know that? And I think for most of us, it's probably 5 to 7 because we're not quite like Jesus yet. So that's why groups are so important. And let me just speak to some of you who are leading a group this summer. You might only have 5, 6, 7, 8 people in your group, and you might be tempted to think that's not a big deal, but that is a massive deal. You're creating community for a handful of people where their name can be known, their story can be known. It's so important. And everybody needs that. That's why teams need a span of care. It's why we're very intentional here about we don't want one leader having 30 people directly reporting to them because it just doesn't work. It's like, what's your name again? We've got to have a small span of care. And just so you know, as leaders, that's why I'm so passionate about raising up more leaders here. It's not just so I can go, oh, great, we got more leaders. It's so we can create more community. It's that span of care that we need. No one in our church should feel anonymous for very long. The Father said this about Jesus. When Jesus was on the earth, there are just a couple of times where it's recorded that there was a voice from heaven that spoke, where the Father was speaking about the Son. And he said, this is my beloved Son. First audible words from the Father to the Son that we read about in the New Testament are, this is my beloved Son. He's not anonymous. I'm his Father. He's my Son. He's known. He's recognized. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Remember, his disciples asked him, how do we pray? First words out of his mouth, our
Father.
Our Father. Right away, we're in community, like it or not, because you and I have the same dad. If we have the same God, according to Jesus, we have the same dad. You know what that makes us, right? It's not complicated. We're not cousins. We are brothers and we are family. Jesus said, when you pray, the first words out of your mouth ought to be a reminder. You're in community with God and with other people. Our Father. And so right away, we're reminded we have a dad. We're sons and daughters. We're not strangers anymore. We have brothers and sisters. We are family. God places us in community with him and with each other. And Jesus then turns to his disciples from then on. And over again, he says, love each other. You are brothers and sisters. Love each other. You have the same Father. The message of community in your handout is you matter. Leaders, if you're going to lead effectively in a way that honors Jesus and serves people, you have to find a way to communicate constantly. You matter. All of us are going to do that differently based on our personalities, but we all have to give the same message if we're going to lead well. You matter. And by the way, you can't fake that for very long. So you better figure it out with God whether or not they actually do matter to you. I learned that early on. Like, I can't, either these people really matter to me that I'm leading, or I might as well step out of this role, this place, because I can't fake it for long. They're going to pick up on it. So settle it, whether you have five people in a group or eight people on a team or whatever the case may be, settle it. They matter, and communicate that message. And I want you to hear from me tonight. You matter. You are family. You're not strangers. You're not just a number on a roster. You are family. We have the same Father. We are brothers and sisters. You're not anonymous. You're known. You're respected. You matter. That's why three people high-fived you on your way in here. Going, you matter. Some of you I high-tend. Those of you who didn't have something in the other hand. You matter. You are family. So here's a question for you on this first one. Who is in your span of care? And how can you cultivate community as you lead this summer? Learn people's names, learn people's stories, and send that message over and over again. You matter, your family. I grew up in Canada, and I grew up in a family that we didn't show a lot of affection. So I came from the North. You think you're from the North. I came from the North. And I remember when I first went to college, this guy I'd only met one time walked up to me and was like, "Hey, bro," and hugged me. And I was like, "What are you doing? Are you my uncle and I didn't know, you know? Am I supposed to know you more than I think I know you?" Because I wasn't used to that kind of affection. And so I've learned as a leader, I am just a little bit more, especially with people that I can tell, maybe just a little bit skeptical, I'm a little bit more outgoing than maybe I feel like being at times. And I want to put myself out there a little bit more just so that person knows, hey, you matter enough for me to raise my energy level, whether I feel like my energy level can be raised right now or not. That's what a leader does. I told you a little behind the scenes. I'm exhausted right now, like completely exhausted. Can you tell? No. Because you matter enough to me that I'm going to raise my energy level so that you feel like you matter. And then I'm going to go to God later and be like, fill my cup up. That's what leaders do. You got to communicate that message in groups. What an opportunity. If you're leading a J group this summer, what an opportunity to just know and recognize a few people and get involved in their stories. So think about that this summer with the people that you're leading in whatever environment. Can you help them get a strong sense that they are known and their contributions are recognized? If so, they're highly likely to engage. That's community. We all need it. Here's the second one, and it's a big word, irrelevance. This causes people to disengage, and this is the perception that what I do does not make a significant difference. The perception that what I do does not make a significant difference. We can't stay engaged for the long term if we don't sense that what we're doing really matters. Now, I want you to notice something. For all three of these, they're about perception, because perception is reality. Sometimes as leaders, we get upset with people like, I don't understand why they don't feel engaged. And we're like, it's all on them. But if their perception is that they're not feeling like they're in community or that what they're doing doesn't really matter, we have to speak to that perception. Now, we can't always fix it for them. But we've got to leap over our pride sometimes and say, well, it's all on them, and go, what do I need to do? Remember, they matter. So if people matter, I'm going to ask the question, what do I need to do to engage this person and help them feel like they're a part of it? So what's the solution to irrelevance? It's cause. It's cause. And this is the belief that I am making a meaningful impact. This comes from our human need for fulfillment. I've got to know that what I'm doing matters. We had a moment in a staff meeting a couple of weeks ago. We start every, and I would encourage you, if you're leading a ministry area, start every meeting with life change stories. Every single one. Tell me some stories. And if nobody on your team has any stories, you know they've been focusing on the wrong things. Because what else do we do except partner with God for changed lives? That's what we do. So we were sharing life change stories in staff meeting a couple of weeks ago, our first Monday staff meeting. We have all our staff together, and I'm in the room, and that day I had to lay out a bunch of stuff that our staff needed to know, and so the temptation is kind of rush through the life change stories if you're not careful. And some of the stories, two of the stories that were shared that day were just like, are you kidding me? Like people whose lives have been completely changed. I want to share them with you so badly, but I don't have time, so you got to find your own, okay? But they were like, and then it was transitioned to me to lead the next part of the meeting, and I just paused, and I asked two questions. I said, hey guys, before we go any further, I just want to ask you two questions. Here's number one, can you believe we get to do this? Because it's Monday, and all over America, what we're doing right now is happening. It's happening at coffee shops, it's happening in office buildings, it's happening at construction sites where people are going, hey, what'd you do this weekend? And here are the answers. I got sloshed, I got drunk out of my mind, I mowed the yard, I yelled at my kids, I spent too much money, I slept. And we're going, oh, interesting. I partnered with the creator of the universe to find some of his lost kids and help them find their rightful place as sons and daughters in the kingdom. Can you believe we get to do this? If you haven't pinched yourself lately, now would be a good time. Can you believe we get to, what we're doing will matter forever? Can you believe that? And it's just a good reminder. And the second question I asked was, what do you think is happening in heaven right now? As we share these life change stories, what do you think is happening? Because Jesus said there's more joy in the presence of the angels over one person who turns to Jesus and repents and finds new life than over 99 people who don't think they even need new life. There's more joy over one person whose life has changed, and we just told like four stories. What do you think is happening in heaven right now? Like they're going crazy. Can you hear them? I can't do crowd noise very well, obviously, but... So connect the dots if you want to create a cause in people's hearts and help them see the cause of Jesus. Always lead with why. W-H-Y. Always lead with why. Man, every time I'm coaching leaders, I talk about this constantly. Because if the people in your group or on your team seem disengaged, they've probably forgotten why this matters. Why connecting matters, why serving matters. So remind them. How often? Every time you're with them. It leaks because you tell them why and they're like, yeah, and then they go to work the next day and they get beat up by a boss and they go home and they've got issues at home and their finances are kind of messed up and maybe they've got a family member who's ill and they forget why. So the next time you're with them, you got to fill them up with why again. It's like a gas tank. Pull that thing out of the machine, plug it into their souls and fill them up with why this matters. I'm so glad you came to group tonight. When you're here, my life is better. It matters. I'm so glad you're on this team. I noticed when you handed that program to somebody who's walking in the auditorium that they weren't smiling until they got to you, and you're so infectious that they kind of had one corner of their mouth turn up on their way into the auditorium. It matters. It matters. They might find Jesus today. Can you imagine? It matters. It matters. Fill up their tank with why, the vision, the cause. Our temptation is to lead with what when we get busy, right? Hey, I don't need to tell you why. I just need you to be in the parking lot at 8:30. And we start leading with what, and people begin to disengage because people don't feed off what, they feed off why. God created us to feed off why, the cause, the vision. You are a CEO. You are a chief encouragement officer. And whatever area you lead, you're welcome. You can't do a lot about the salary and benefits package or the helicopter, but you are a CEO. And every environment you lead in, you are filling people up with a reminder of why their presence matters, why their serving matters, why their giving matters, why their prayers matter, why their invitation matters. Fill up their tank. Be very specific. Tell them how they're making other people's lives better. Tell them how they're making your life better. I didn't do that early on. I thought it was arrogant. So there were people around me who would serve, and they kind of served me. They made my job easier to do. And I thought, well, I don't want to thank him for serving me. That seems arrogant. I just want him to, you know, hopefully God will talk to him. And man, God talked to me about that. And some coaches in my life talked to me about that. And now I have no problem saying, thank you. You just made my life better. And because you made my life better, I feel encouraged to make other people's lives better. And you're making a difference by serving in a way that affects me. Don't be afraid to connect the dots over and over again. In your handout, honor creates relevance. And some of you might be feeling like, man, honoring people and telling them all the time that why they're doing what they're doing matters. Isn't that kind of egotistical? Well, Jesus needed to know. Because that voice from heaven from the Father said, this is my beloved Son. I want everybody to know I'm well pleased with him. Jesus needed to hear it as a human, as a man. He's not anonymous. He's my Son, and he is making a meaningful impact. I'm well pleased with him. And if Jesus needed it, we needed it. We need it. We didn't just need it in the past. We need it now. The message of cause is what you do matters. So if the message of community is you matter, now the message of cause is you do. What you do matters. And we need both, everybody. We need to know that we matter, no matter what we do or don't do. But then we also need to know that what we do, as we start leaning in and making a difference, matters as well. So who needs a why refresher on your team? And how can you cultivate cause this summer? Here's the last one. I'm going to hit this really quickly. Immeasurability. I'm not even sure it is a word. But what it means is the perception that winning is subjective rather than objective. The perception that winning is subjective rather than objective. Now, I know that's kind of a heady definition. Let me make it very simple for you. Nothing is worse than playing a game when you don't know if you're winning or losing. You ever had somebody say, well, let's play, but let's just play for fun? No, that's not fun. Unless you're three, that's not fun. And even then, it's usually not that fun. All of us were designed by God to get this rush of endorphins and serotonin when we know, hey, I'm winning at something that matters. And because of that, the people we lead will eventually disengage if we don't give them a clear scoreboard. So the solution to immeasurability, that word that's not a word, is clarity. It's clarity. This is the belief that I can get better at the right things because I know what to measure. I know the score. And this plays into our human need for progress. Now, I get it. We all learned, like, if you're going to be healthy, don't keep score. And there is a negative keeping score, but we throw the baby out with the bathwater. I find this all the time in coaching leaders and pastors. It's like this, well, we don't want to talk about the numbers, or we don't want to keep score or anything like that. And in doing that, we violate this third thing that all human beings need. We need to know if we're making progress. People are searching for a scoreboard. So what they do is they search in all the wrong places. Money, how much money can I make? That's going to fulfill me. Sex, how many partners can I have? That's going to fulfill me. Power, how can I dominate the people around me and put notches on the belt of the people that I have just ruined their life, or I've made it clear who's boss. People are desperate for a scoreboard, so they go looking in the wrong places, and then they come to church and we're just like, well, just kind of serve Jesus, and hopefully at the end you'll figure out if it, you know, really made a difference or not. We have to let people know, here's how we win here. This is what it looks like. We help people find Jesus and follow him fully. How do we do that? We create environments. We gather on the weekend. We connect in a J group. We serve on the J team. Then we get into these personal habits, and they're a scoreboard for our lives. We invest and invite. I love it that Barbara Harrington invited like 264 people to Easter weekend. And because she's so humble and gentle, she didn't go, what's up now? But she could have, because 264 people is a pretty good score. Isn't that better than all the things the world is measuring? Why wouldn't we get excited about that? We baptized 179 people so far this year. It was 161 last year. It was 64 the year before. I'm going, yeah, God, I know what progress looks like. We're winning because people are going from death to life. So don't stop measuring, just start measuring what actually matters. Give people a scoreboard. So when people come to our church and they are get into a serving role or they come to our group, we've got to find ways to, when somebody says, hey, man, this happens to me all the time in my groups, people who never practice a slot and spot before, time and place with God, will say something like, hey, and they'll say it kind of like ashamed, like, well, I only had the slot and spot twice this week. And I'll be like, well, how many did you have 4 weeks ago? And they're like, oh, none, I never did it. What? You went from zero to two? Woo! I'm telling you, people need to feel like I'm making progress. I'm winning. I had a whole great story about this because I just started running and I wanted to tell you all about it because then when I want to quit, I'll be like, I told 100 people that I started running, but it'll have to wait for another time. The message of clarity is how you're growing matters. Isn't that powerful? How you're growing matters. So the message of community is you matter. The message of cause is what you do matters. And I want you guys in this room to know what you do matters. It's making a meaningful impact. Well, then the message of clarity is how you're growing matters. The progress you're making. How you're not where you were 2 months ago. How you've taken a big step over the past 6 months, and here are the tangible ways I know that's happening. You came in and you were serving on the J team, you're like, I don't want anything else. Now all of a sudden you're leading a group. That's progress. That's how you're growing matters. So how do you tie all three of those together? We empower people. That's what we do here. We release them from the message of the world around them that says, you can't, you're not good enough, you could never. And we empower them. We build relationships. That's community. You're not anonymous. You matter. We inspire people to live out their purpose. We inspire people to live out their purpose. That's a cause. Your efforts aren't irrelevant. You're making an impact. What you do matters. And we give people opportunities to lead. That's clarity. Your progress is measurable. And how you're growing really matters. And guys, at the end of the day, do you know where we get all of that? Jesus. Because Jesus shows us what community looks like. When you pray, pray like this. Hey, Dad. Our Father. I'm in community with you. I'm in community with others. He gave us a cause. We call it the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Proclaim the good news to all people everywhere. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them to obey what I've commanded. And I'm going to be with you always. That's a cause. And then he provided clarity. Here's how you'll know you're winning. When people find me and begin to follow me fully. That's the scoreboard that really matters. He said it this way. Don't store up treasure on earth. Store it up in heaven. The scoreboard is higher than you. You're playing in a bigger arena than you realize. So the scoreboard isn't down here. It's up there. And when you get discouraged and you're not sure if you're really winning, look up to the scoreboard in heaven and realize, hey, that person I handed a program to, that person in my group who was discouraged, but now they're closer to Jesus, that time I spent with the Lord this week, it's not in vain because the scoreboard isn't down here. It's up there. Storing up treasure in heaven. And everybody in this room and everybody we lead needs all three, not one or two. We need all three. We need community. We need a cause. We need clarity about what really matters. And your job as a leader, my job as a leader, is to provide that for the people around us because Jesus provides it for us. And here's what I want to do as we wrap up. We're getting ready to transition into some breakout time. I want everybody in the room right now to close your eyes if you would. Everybody in the room, I'm going to be the only person with my eyes open in the entire room. Brandon, you got to play without looking. If you're here tonight and you have, and nobody, I want nobody looking around, production, nobody. Just, I'm the only person with my eyes open. If you're here tonight and you have felt disconnected, lonely, maybe a little isolated, I want you to lift your hand. Just lift it. Lift it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Okay, I want you to put it down. If you're here in this room and if you're honest, you've gotten a little distracted and a little discouraged, and you're wondering if what you do really matters, like the way I served it. Would anybody even miss me if I didn't do it? Is it really making a meaningful impact? If I lead this group, will it really matter? Would you just lift your hand if you've struggled with that? All over the room. All right, just put it down. If you're here tonight, and this is going to take some guts, but if you're honest, you've had your eyes on the wrong scoreboard a little bit. Like you haven't, you've kind of squeezed God stuff in, but man, you're hyper-focused on something else in your life that you're really measuring. Maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's work, maybe it's money, maybe it's something you're trying to achieve, or how many Instagram followers you have, I don't know what it is. But if you've gotten kind of focused on the wrong scoreboard, nobody's eyes open except mine, would you just lift your hand? Just hold up high, yeah. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, I want everybody in the room to open your hands up to God like this. You can open your eyes. Open your hands up to God like this. Father, we come to you, and we are reminded we are in community with you and with each other. We pray against the spirit of loneliness and the spirit of isolation that would try to rip us away from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray against the lies that the enemy whispers, you don't belong, you don't matter. It's all lies because he knows the power of community. And we commit ourselves right now, God, especially any of us who lifted our hands and we felt isolated, we felt lonely. We just commit ourselves to getting back into your presence as our dad, as our father in heaven, and back into the presence of each other. Even though we feel awkward at times, even though we feel alone at times or like we don't fit in, we are committed to community, Lord. We are a part of a body. God, as we come to you, we call you by the name Jesus. You are the Son of God. And Jesus, you remind us that we have a cause because you came with this cause beating in your chest, burning in your heart. You came to seek and to save those who are lost. You came not to be served, but to serve. We remind ourselves, Jesus, as we address you as our Savior, our leader and Lord, that we too have a cause, that we've been called, that we've been chosen, that whether we serve or don't serve, it really does matter. What we do matters. What we choose not to do, it matters, God. And so we press in to what you've given us to do, the area you've called us to serve in. We press back in. We encourage ourselves in the Lord right now. Jesus, we follow your example. We set our eyes on what you've given us to do, and we will not be moved or shaken or distracted. We're going to be faithful to what you've called us to. And then finally, Holy Spirit, we address you because you are the one who gives us clarity. You are the one who wants to lead us and guide us and direct us. You give us the fruit of the Spirit. Our character begins to change. We are growing. We are making progress. Maybe it feels like two steps forward, one step back, but we are moving forward. You give us fruit of the Spirit. You give us gifts of the Spirit. You increase our character. You increase our courage. You increase our competence. You put us in position to know that we are winning. We're looking at heaven's scoreboard right now, Holy Spirit. And we're being encouraged by you to know that we are growing and it matters. And we pray, God, that now that we've reminded ourselves of what we need, God, from you and from each other, that we would then become distributors of that to the people we lead. We're going to serve the groups we lead. We're going to serve the teams we lead. We're going to serve the guests we greet. And the work we do behind the scenes, it matters. We're going to do it well for you. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. We give you the honor and the praise. And now all over this room, come on, will you give Jesus all the praise, all the thanks? Come on, leaders, one more time, make some noise for him. Thank you, guys.